Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, warning. The show can be contagious.
We're going to go live in a second or two. All right. Everybody have a good evening. Hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. We've got an excellent show planned for you tonight. We're going to get to it in a couple of minutes. And we want you all to please stand by because I think this is a show that you are really going to enjoy. I guess you say I say that every week. Tonight's topic is, do you have a theme for 2019? Once again, do you have a theme for 2019? You know, when we talk about a theme, some people start to talk about New Year's resolution and things like that. Well, you know what? That's not necessarily the case, but you know what? If you've got that on your mind, we're going to talk about that. But because the show goes so fast, we're not going to waste a lot of time. We're going to get right to my co-host and bring her in, Ms. Cross. We're going to bring her in, let her tell you a little bit about herself, and then we're going to go from there. Ms. Cross, good evening, and welcome to tonight's broadcast.
Good evening, Dr. Walker. Yes, thank you for having me. So I'm Camila Cross. I am the founder of Your Worth LLC. It's an anger management organization, so I actually do work with people who are court-ordered to take anger management classes, or if you feel like anger is interrupting your life, then I'm definitely the woman to call. So my number is 954-825-8500, and I look forward to being with you guys tonight, and Happy New Year.
Okay. You know, let me ask you, Ms. Cross, you're in anger management, and just before we get into tonight's broadcast, everybody seems to be angry these days over the slightest things. People are just angry. So, having said that, how do people deal with their anger when you're mad because somebody may have cut the line? How do you deal with that? And we'll do a show on this, but I just want to know, is there a quick answer to anything?
Well, what I found is that sometimes I think you should pause. As simple as that sounds, it's such a big deal. Because a lot of times when people react out of anger, the results aren't usually the best, you know. So I think when you pause and really think about sometimes just even the consequences to your next step, it will make you rethink what you're going to do. And deal with my clients, you know, they make these decisions and now it becomes like an obligation that they have to see me. And if they would have just taken 1 second to just pause, the outcome would have been totally different. So I think it's just to kind of pause and think about what you're, you know, is it worth it? Sometimes is it worth it?
Okay. All right. That makes a lot of sense. We're going to get to the show in just a minute. You're listening live to Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Tonight's topic, do you have a theme for 2019? You know, Ms. Cross, while I've got you on here, just before we go to the story, I have not set New Year's resolutions in years. I can't even remember the last time I set a New Year's resolution. And the reason why I don't typically is because I don't think that I would stick to it anyway. And so what I do, what works for me is just setting goals as usual.
Yes.
And that seems to have worked for me in the past. And I think if it's not broken, don't fix it. What about yourself?
I'm big on setting goals. And I actually don't. I know with all this technology, everybody does it through their phone, through the computer, but I actually still keep a planner. And it's something that I was in an organization in college, and they introduced me to the concept of planners and setting goals and sub-goals. That's what I do. I write down my goals, which I do this periodically, monthly actually, and I look at what it takes to get to these goals. And I don't really do New Year's resolutions either. I'm more of a goal setter as well.
Okay, excellent. All right, we're going to get to the story right away because I know we have people that are anxious about tonight's broadcast. If you're just joining us, tonight's broadcast is, do you have a theme for 2019? We have a character, one solo character, that's Karen. We're going to be talking about Karen tonight. If your name is Karen, please, this does not relate to you in any form or fashion. It's just coincidental that our stories, characters have names to them, and all the stories are inspired by true stories, and, of course, the names have always been changed to protect the innocent. Tonight's story is about a solo character by the name of Karen. Karen is a single mother with three teenage children, all of whom are still at home and in high school. Karen is in her late 30s and up until now has not actually accomplished any of her childhood dreams. One of the reasons Karen has not completed any of her dreams has to do with the fact that Karen is and has always been one of the nicest people whom you will ever meet. She is so nice that this has contributed to her lack of accomplishments, because Karen will actually stop anything that she's doing to help anyone who needs help. Unfortunately, over the years, this has hindered Karen from pursuing and staying on track of any of her New Year's resolutions from the past. Now, for the past 20 years, she would make New Year's resolutions, and within 3 weeks, she has abandoned her dreams to start helping someone else with their own dreams. As such, the people whom she has often helped, get this now, have not looked back to try and help Karen in any way. Now, for the first time in years, Karen finally realizes that she is all alone and has been for years, and has decided in this new year, 2019, that her theme will be to focus and pursue one of her dreams. And she's going to do that by enrolling in school to take a trade and becoming a chef. So that's her dream for 2019. That's her theme for 2019. Unfortunately, Karen does not have a starting point in knowing what to do, as she is financially strapped as a single parent. She does believe she can do it, but finds that it's not easy when you go at it alone without the meaningful, now that's important, the meaningful support and encouragement. Karen has recently been crying because she feels uncertain of her theme and focusing without getting, once again, distracted. Now, the question that we start out with tonight, Ms. Cross, I'm going to throw this one at you. It's a curveball. You know, is it a reality? Come on now, that Karen will do it this time? I mean, if she hasn't done it in all those previous years, is it likely to be a reality that Karen will do it this time?
Definitely a possibility. Depends on her will. I think what happens, it sounds like she's been kind of putting herself on the back burner. And I, as a mother, a lot of us can relate to that. You know, we look at our kids, especially a single mother, sometimes we overcompensate because that other parent's not there. But what I had to learn in being a mother is that it's not selfish. It's kind of self-preservation, because what happens is if you're not strong and if you're not strong enough to handle things, you're not going to really be able to be strong enough to kind of help the kids do things either. So you have to still take care of yourself, you know. It is self-preservation. But I think if Karen is really and truly willing to make the next step, and I'm very, you know, I do believe prayer does help, and my relationship with God is a big part of it, but God will help you to make the second step, you know. But if she's going to make the first, I think he'll help her through the second.
All right, but she's already started out in the past years, you know, doing this here. And then she's, because Karen is so nice, she gets easily distracted. Ms. Cross, hold on just a second. We're going to go to phone lines and bring some of the callers in, because the show is going to be an interesting one tonight. Let's go to 980. Looks like we're going to North Carolina, 245. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You're on the air live.
Hello, how are you?
Fine, thank you. Who do we have with us this evening, and welcome?
My name is Vernell.
Vernell, thank you for joining us. Vernell, do you think that there's a likelihood, Karen will actually accomplish it this time? I mean, this sister has been trying for years, but she's so nice that people tend to take advantage of nice people. And unfortunately, Karen gets distracted easily. Do you think that she'll make it this time?
Well, as the young lady said there, it depends on her will. She has to want to do it and not allow anything or anyone to stop her from doing
it. But she's wanted to do it before, you know.
Well, that it still solely depends on her because she's the one that wants to do it. If she wants to do it, but it's going to depend on her. She's going to have the will to do it and then go ahead and just do it.
And just do it. Could you see any of yourself having Karen in your character where you're so nice, Vernell, that you give up on, you abandon your dream to help somebody else, and then nobody looks back to help you? Have you ever been like Karen or know anybody like Karen?
I have. I've done that. I've given up a lot to try to satisfy other people. But I'm learning now that if I really want to do something, I have to love myself enough and strengthen my mind to the point where I just go ahead and do what I have to do for me and to make me feel better.
All right. Vernell, we're going to ask you to stand by just for a second. Let's go to the phone line. We're going to go to South Florida, 305-733. We're broadcasting today out of Huntsville, Alabama. That's where we are. So we're broadcasting live from Huntsville, Alabama. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walk Show, 305-733. You're live. Who do we have with us this evening? And welcome.
Good evening, Dr. Walker. This is Stephanie. How are you?
I'm fine, Stephanie. Thank you for joining us this evening. Stephanie, have you known anybody like Karen that's so nice that they just, you know, it's almost like they get hit with an 18-wheeler when it comes to their own dreams?
I've known plenty of people like Karen. However, I've known people also that rise above like Karen. Like, I think Karen is trying to do now. I think Karen is going to do it this time because I, even though she's been at it more than once, but there's always something that tells people, no, this is my time. I'm going to do it this time, and I'm not going to let anyone stand in my way. And people do tend to allow others to get into their way, but at some point they have to come to reality that their dreams are their dreams, and they're not for anyone else. So I think Karen is going to do it this time around. So I'm going to be rooting and praying for Karen.
Well, I think we're all rooting and praying for Karen. But, I mean, when we look at some realities, Karen has been out there. She's in her 30s, you know, three kids, single mom. And I'm not, you know, we're all rooting and praying, and you know, for Karen. But I'm trying to figure out what would make this year different then probably somebody said the same thing that you're saying, Stephanie, probably last year and the year before that and the year before that, that we're all rooting and praying for Karen. But like Nicole said, it's Karen's will. So what do you say to that, Stephanie?
It's Karen's will. That's why. Well, okay, even if Karen doesn't do it this year and Karen does it 10 years from now, I mean, it's Karen's will. It's her will that whatever happens in her life happens. Karen will be the one responsible for what happens in her life. So if she doesn't do it this year, even though I feel like she's going to do it this year, even if she doesn't do it this year, she 10 years from now, then you know what? It doesn't matter how long it takes Karen, as long as she accomplishes her goal.
What if Karen is your friend, Stephanie? What if Karen is your friend and she's been your friend for a long time and every time you talk to her, which might be every other day or so, and you're finding that Karen is telling you about her dream. She's been telling you for the last 15 years, and it consumes a lot of your time. How would you handle that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would tell Karen, you know what? Words speak louder than words. I need you to show me. I need you to enroll in that class. I need you to give me a copy of that transcript. Show me. Don't keep telling me, okay? Because then after a while, my ears are going to be numb to you, and I'm not going to keep telling you what you want to hear. I'm going to tell you exactly what you should hear. So, Karen, if you're not showing me in the next couple of weeks, which time for school to start and you to get your goals and everything's upset, ready, set, go, then guess what, Karen? You and I don't need to have this conversation anymore.
Okay, all right. We're going to ask you to stand by just for a second. Let me take another call. We're going to go back to South Florida, 305-748. You're welcome. You're live on the Dr. Jesse Walk Show. Who do we have with us this evening?
How you doing, Doc? This is Wayne.
Wayne, thank you for joining us this evening. Wayne, I mean, have you ever run across people like Karen? And her
yes, I have. Yes, I have, Doc. I mean, I run across a lot of Karens, and I tell them, I wish them, I back them up, but, you know, work without faith is dead. And I like to tell them that you don't want to be there now and describe what you're going to do in the future. You're going to get it together. You're going to do it. You sort of want to be a verb, because verbs show actions, as we know. So people get tired of you saying that this is going to be your year. You're going to do it. You're going to go back to school, and you're going to make a difference. You're going to follow your dreams. You know, even though her dreams were deferred, I can only say that, like the young lady just said, you know, she got to put it in action. Most people, you know, don't like you to talk about it, like you to be about it. So once you just show you something in your face and say, hey, I accomplished my dreams. Look at here. Look at this piece of paper. That way you can be proud of her and say, you know, through all these years, she said she was going to do it. And 2019, she really did it. I'm proud of her. Now, if she don't do it, like the caller just said, then, hey, just got to cut her loose.
Okay. You know, you can probably still be friends with her, but I like what Stephanie's saying, and she says, you know what, show me that you've registered in school. Show me a copy of that transcript. I like that because now you're not just talking about it. You're actually being about it. Well, Wayne, we're going to ask you to stand by just a second. Let me go to my co-host for a second. We're going to bring Vernell back in as well. Ms. Cross, let me just bring you in here. I mean, I think all of us know people like Karen, and if you all speak to the issue of Karen tonight, press one if you have anything to say, because I'm questioning whether Karen will really do it this time. You know, and like Stephanie said, it's not up to me. It's not up to anybody else. It's up to, and Ms. Cross, you said it yourself, it's up to her will. How bad does she want it? I mean, this is a nice person. Can't somebody just give her a free ride, Ms. Cross? All right, Ms. Cross, can somebody just give her a free ride? Looks like Ms.
Yeah,
Cross.
Yeah,
okay, there you are.
I was saying, yeah, no, we don't want to give her a free ride, but I like what the caller said about being a good friend and holding her accountable. You know, if you're gonna do it, show me. You know, show me. And actually appreciating the fact that sometimes, like I know she has and what I picked up on is she has teenage kids now. So now
right.
The kids are a little bit more independent, so she may be able to, you know, kind of step back a little bit more to where the kids, you know, she can go to school. So maybe that's a part of why she's it'll be more accomplishable now that she, you know, the kids are a little older. And that might actually provoke her to go to the next step. I listened to an amazing story. Yes, I listened to this amazing sermon by one of the famous pastors, and he was talking about the fact that sometimes things happen in our lives to provoke us to get to the next step. And she might be reflecting on her life and what she's been doing and what kind of influence she's going to have on her children and, you know, and being their role model. So it's maybe a lot of things factoring in her life that affects, you know, her being able to actually do this, you know, go to school and actually accomplish these goals now.
Okay, all right. So something has to provoke. Vernell, let's bring you back in and ask you the question. Recently, Karen's been crying, you know, because she feels like she's going at this alone. I mean, really now. I mean, and then she's financially strapped for money. She doesn't even know where to start. So, I mean, I don't know if anybody has ever been there, like situations like Karen, but I certainly can say that I've been there where you don't even know where starting point is. So, I mean, what hope is there for Karen, Vernell?
You know what, I want to say this. I agree with Miss, what's her name, Stephanie? I agree with her that, you know, as a friend, that you want to keep encouraging her and let her know not that she's not going to continue to waste your time, but go ahead and do what it is that she needs to do for herself. But yet again, it goes back to what the young lady said, Karen said, I guess it was Karen. It has to be her will. Now, we also have to ask a question. We also have, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to misquote her name, but we also have to ask a question. Is there something going on with Karen on a psychological issue, level that maybe she, that's keeping her from actually going to school. Sometimes a fear, a phobia of maybe going to school. You know, a person can be have a phobia of the unknown of what she's getting ready to face going to school. And it can be, I mean, because I can clearly say I had that same phobia for years. I didn't go to college. People would try to encourage me, but it was one friend that I do remember that kept talking to me about it. She says, well, and she sounded just like Stephanie, the young lady Stephanie that was talking. She used to tell me all the time, if you're going to do it, just do it. And she says, what are you afraid of? And that's what got me to thinking, what am I afraid of? So, you know, Karen could be in that same on that same level of mentality, keeping her from going to school. But I believe if she has such a strong will and she continues to have people around her that encourages her, I believe she will eventually just go ahead and do it.
All right. Let me, Vernet, we're going to ask you to stand by just a second. We're going to bring Stephanie in just a second. But first, Wayne, let me come back to you and just say, Nike has a slogan that says, just do it. How easy is that to just do it? I mean, come on, really, just do it. I mean, here we're talking about a lady who's 15, 20 years, hasn't done it. I mean, how do you just do it?
Can I say one more thing, Dr. Walker?
Yes.
Can I say one more thing?
Go ahead.
I had a strong-willed grandmother. Hear me. This woman, all those years, never went to school, never went to college, things like that. But you know, in her 60s, she went back to college. But it was when she had that strong will to actually go ahead and do it. And she did it. And she graduated. Now, she never used a degree, but it was something to be proud of her. And I'm sure that she felt so complete after she did this, and it made her feel great. So, you know, it has to be Karen's will, strong will. When
Absolutely.
She's ready, she'll do it.
Well, that's excellent. All right, let's bring Wayne back in. Thank you for sharing that, Vernell. Wayne, let's bring you back in. What are your thoughts here? I mean, 15, 20 years, you haven't done it. I mean, come on, really?
I mean, Doc, when you're going back to school, At an early, later age, it's hard. You got to study in. You got to be in the classroom with the sharp young individuals. It's really hard, you know, because they got different style of writing out, APA style, and I think if she take remedial courses to build her academic level up, she can do it. But like the caller just said, she got to have a strong willpower to do it. You know, and most people, they don't like to show you evidence. Well, I registered for this class. I registered to go back to school. They just want you to believe them as an adult. They have trust in them, you know. And she could do it, but it's real hard being the age and going back to school, especially when you got kids and everything will come up, you know, financially. But like the call, I keep going back to the caller. You got to have a strong will. If not, it's no use. You know, my thing is, why wait 15, 20 years to do it? Maybe, you know, college is not for everybody. You know, she got to understand that also. The longer you wait, the harder it is.
Okay, Stephanie, let's bring you in. And one of our callers did mention that, you know, even if it's, and I may have heard also that if it takes her 10 years or 15 years, whatever it takes, and she gets there, I mean, really, it's about her being proud of herself because life goes on for everybody else. So what do you think? I mean, I know you say that you would encourage her, but she's got to show you. It's about showing you. Otherwise,
right.
I agree with you. You're tired of hearing that conversation. You're tired of hearing that conversation. And why? Why?
Oh, because I'm about show, not tell, okay? And I believe showing is much, much more than telling because words are just words. You know, after a while, words look like blah, 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 blah. And I agree with Vernell, but she had a good point also about the story about her grandmother, but also she dropped some wisdom down and let us know that, you know, it has to be Karen's will. Yes, I'm going to be a good friend. I'm going to stick by her, and I'm going to encourage her. But after a while, Karen's got to show me and not tell me. okay? And that goes for all of us. But this is the right point. This is what I'm going to ask you, Dr. Walker. Where is Karen's faith? Okay, does she have faith? Do she believe? I mean, because for me, and sound like all the other participants on the panel, sounds like faith governs us. And I walked through the doors of Florida Memorial without a dime. And I just said, I go to school, and I have no money, and financial aid said, come on and sit down. So you have got to go and just go on that faith. Go on believing that God can guide you and steer you, and no matter what comes one may, the Lord is going to be there with you. And that's what that's what I believe.
And you know, it sounds like
amen, sister. I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like you'd be a good friend, and I think that Karen needs to hear things like that about, you know, because people have been hearing about faith probably since they were little children, and now Karen in her 30s. I mean, I agree with you. The question becomes, where is her faith? Just like Wayne said here, and the rest of you all saying, Stephanie, you've said it, Burnell has said it, Ms. Cross has said it. It's got to be her will. Just get out there and do it. You know, circumstances are going to be all around us. So your faith is showing that. Listen, if I'm doing this part time job or whatever it is, if I'm not liking what I'm doing, I'm going to take a day off. You know, I'm going to take a half a day off. I'm going to make some calls. She doesn't know where to start. A starting point would be, and I'm going to throw it out there, and you all add to this if you'd like, and if you want to speak to this, it's your best one. A starting point is making that decision that no matter what comes, I'm going to stay the course. That's my starting point. That's my starting point. So let's look at some other things that could be a starting point for Karen. Let's start with you, Stephanie.
Okay.
Just give me one starting point for her.
Well, if she doesn't have any money, there's financial aid out there. There's scholarships.
Okay. All right. There's financial aid. Vernell, give us a starting point. How about a phone call? Okay. Wayne, give us a starting point.
Sorry, I didn't hear you.
Yeah, give us a starting point. I mentioned that she's got to make the decision. No matter what comes, I'm going to do this. And then Stephanie mentioned that, you know what, if she has no money, there's financial aid. So what would be a starting point coming from you, Vernell, for Karen?
Well, my first starting point would be to talk to God. If it's something I know I really want to do, because God said, in all your ways, acknowledge me and I'll direct your path.
All right.
If it's something I really want to do, and this has happened in my life, and it's caused my life to be very successful because I put God first.
All right.
That's number one in my life. And then seeking other avenues to try to get in school.
All right. Let's bring you in, Wayne. We've heard now. I said, mentioned the decision. You know, Stephanie has said, if you don't have financial aid is an option. Vernell just mentioned seeking God first. Now, what would you say, Wayne?
I follow them, what they're saying also, but you got to understand, Doc, sometimes, you know, financial aid is not a given. It's very competitive field when everybody getting financial aid now, because we're telling seniors to get financial aid as early as in May, and they be still in high school. You know, and also you got to go by the GPA. I mean, what is her interest scores before you get to financial aid? Does she have the grades? I mean, the test scores to go to college.
Okay, now we're talking about Karen wants to be a chef, so that's a vocational trade. So it's probably not gonna, you know, the grades. I mean, she's in her 30s, so they may not look at high school in this case,
right?
Because they're gonna be looking at something else. So now, unlike a high school student, you know, this is a little different for her. She's looking at a trade. So what would you tell her would be a starting point? You know, we've already said the decision. We've said financial aid. We've said seeking God. Now what would you say? Then Ms. Cross, we're going to ask you for a starting point for her.
Well, before all that, I would tell her if she wanted to be a chef, to go in a restaurant, I mean, even if you could volunteer in a restaurant and get a little insight
of how they do things and how their chefs do things in a restaurant. And everybody, who's going to turn down free labor? Once she volunteers in a restaurant, so when she gets to school, she has some idea. She have a jump start in the culinary classes about what's what. That's a good head start right there.
I like that. I really like that. Volunteering, I like that. Ms. Cross, let's bring you in. What's a good start for Karen? What's a good start, Ms. Karen? We've heard make the decision. We've heard financial aid is an option. We've heard seeking God, and Wayne just brought us with volunteering at a restaurant. You know, everybody likes that free labor. Volunteering at a restaurant, I've known a lot of people that have gotten jobs as a result of volunteering. Ms. Cross, give us yours.
I agree with everyone, especially with seeking God first. What I've been kind of cheating, especially with the new year, I've been listening to a lot of sermons, and one message that really stood out for me was the fact that when you're making such a big change in your life, you have to do some restructuring to your life. So the fact that, you know, she has her kids, she has things going on with her life, she has to make sure she gets all of that organized so that she can focus on making that next step. And it sounds, without feeling guilty, because it sounds like that's kind of her personality. So she needs to definitely get focused, you know, restructure so that she can be focused. And, you know, a message for, like, to be on fire. When you're focused, you're on fire. So once she has everything lined up, she'll be able to focus her mind on what she needs to do and actually do it.
Okay, I think that's an interesting point, an exciting point. Wayne, I want to bring you in just for a second, and I want to, research has shown that parents who do not achieve certain levels of success and do nothing with their life as they get older, there's a likelihood that with the children watching them, they turn out and almost repeat that same process. What do you think, Wayne? What is your thoughts on that? Have you ever come across such research? And then I'm going to ask my other callers as well. You know, where if the parent is not likely to finish high school, there's a good chance that a kid might not finish high school. If a parent doesn't go on to get a trade or vocation, I mean, there are always extenuating circumstances. But what's been your experience?
Well, I could speak for personal experience, Doc. In my family, it did happen where the parent didn't finish high school because of pregnancies, and they didn't go back and get that degree. And once the kid became of age, the kid followed in his footsteps, and it's like a domino effect. Her daughter had kids at early age, and she didn't finish high school just like her mom. And I think kids only mark what they see. If mother never seen their mom or dad get up and go to work and get it, then they think it's okay to do the same thing. But then, like the caller said earlier, as early as 12 or 11 years old, you got to have a strong will to do better than your parents that you never seen work before.
Well, I certainly agree with that. Let's see here. And I tend to agree with that. When the parents don't likely, you know, succeed at something, you know, then there's a good chance that they're not going to go after that. Ms. Cross, let's bring you in, and then Stephanie, and then Vernell, we'll bring you back in as well. Ms. Cross, give me your thoughts on that. You know, I know that you're in the social work field. You know, what do you see with that?
Yeah, it's true. We're always gonna have exceptions to the rules, but it's definitely true. It's a mirroring effect. Kids, they don't listen to what you say. They watch what they see.
Watch what you
and
do.
Based on how you behave, it's gonna be a lot of times that's gonna be their behavior, because you are their number one role model, whether you like it or not. You know, what happens in the house usually is going to stem on how they behave and their behaviors. So I think a lot of times as parents, we have to be very cognizant of the things that we say and do around our kids, because they will mimic us. Like, your brain automatically is going to adapt to your surroundings, and it's just going to be a given.
You know, and that is very important. So, you know, if people tend to look at those statistics, I mean, even with Karen, if she really, really wants her children, you know, this is based on that statistics, or those statistics, I should say, if Karen really, really wants her children to become self-supporting and productive citizens, I think it would be to Karen's advantage for this year, let's just say because the theme for this year, her theme, to focus and pursue her childhood dream of becoming a chef, if she really thinks about it and says, you know what, I got to not only do this for myself, but do it for my children's success, because they will watch what I'm doing, and there's a good likelihood mama did it, like Vernell mentioned about her grandmother. I mean, that is a paramount thing to see, that she waited till she was in her 60s and then got her degree. You know, that had to be inspirational for her children and other grandchildren as well. And so I think that that's what it's going to take. So Karen needs to look at her own life and then look at the life of her three children and say, you know what, by me doing this, there's a good likelihood that these kids will go after a trade of vocation. And now I can just not only speak about it, but I can be about it, as Wayne said, because I did it. Now my children are more prone to listen to me. Stephanie, let's ask you, how realistic is that your children are likely to listen to you because now you did it? You did it.
Research is very, very important. One thing I want to ask, though, I'm not sure if you mentioned whether Karen's parents had gone to school or not. But if that's not...
No.
However, research is very important also. Research does show that the majority of kids that go to school, their parents go to school, they're 80% at the high age of going to school themselves. My mother went to school. She didn't graduate college, but she went to college and she took courses and she basically almost made it and got her degree. However, that wasn't going to discourage me whether or not I was going to go or not. As a matter of fact, her and I went and we had the same classes. So my mom encouraged me to finish. She encouraged me to go ahead, even though she stopped. But yes, I'm almost certain parents do have a high influential rate on whether or not their children will graduate from an institution, or go to take a trade, or even to take to learn a skill. I think parents will have a high effect on their children and whether or not they will be successful or not.
Right. Okay. I think you're so right. Let's go to look like Raleigh, North Carolina, and bring this call in. Let's go to 919-272. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You're on the air live.
Yes. How is everyone doing this evening?
We're great. And
happy
New Year
as well.
Happy New Year as well for all of you all.
Yes.
And who do we have with us this evening?
I didn't hear you.
No. What is your name?
Christy.
Oh, Christy. Thank you for joining us, Christy. Christy, what's your comment?
Okay. I wasn't on at the beginning, but what Stephanie just said, of course, is 100% correct, and what the other man said. I just happen to know of a family here in North Carolina that the mother has about maybe five or more children, and she's done nothing when I say with her life. I've known this family for a number of years, and the daddy is about nothing. He stays in and out of jail for whatever reason. And the children, you know, I help the children and definitely try to be a role model for the children. She's had two that never graduated. They're older. Her first child just graduated just last year out of those five children. And I praise God for that. And hopefully and prayerfully, from my understanding, when they come around me, they show respect, because that's all that I know that people got to show me, especially children when they come around me. I hear that where they live at, which is, you know, in the project area, that the mother has to pay them to clean up the house. They curse their mother out. And so parents, definitely, if they're not a role model and if they're cursing at their children and drinking and doing all and having all kind of people in their house, the children see all that. And all of the daughters so far have their boyfriends living in the house with all of their children. I mean, it's really terrible, because the kids, are they're one way with me, and then when they go home, I hear that, hey, they're the neighborhood people that have loud music, you know, in everybody in and out of their house all the time. So it's no role model for the parents, for the children, because daddy is about nothing. Mama definitely is nothing about anything either. Sad to say, when children don't have either parent that they could look up to as a role model. But I'm sure you all that are in the teaching business, I'm sure you all probably see this all the time.
Right, right. Let me bring, I'm glad that you mentioned that. Vernell, let's bring you back in just a second and ask you, do you think someone like Karen needs a role model? I mean, she's in her late 30s. I mean,
yeah. Young woman. She's still a young woman. She needs encouraging all the time. She needs role models around her in order for her to grow and to learn what it is to be able to take care of children as well as have a career and so forth. Yeah, we all continuously need someone to encourage us all the time. You know, as I was growing up, we grew up in a somewhat poverty situation. However, we had a lot of different role models. They weren't just our parents. They were uncles. They were other family members, and they encouraged the grandmothers and so forth. They encouraged us, people in the church that we were always surrounded by. So you can have other people around you that encourage you and be your role models. The parents, yes, if they don't do anything with their life, 10-to-1, the children won't either. But if those other people are in their life, they can they can be somebody, because I can say that my siblings and I, we didn't grow up to just be nobodies and didn't have jobs or lazy or sit around the house or binge off of welfare and so forth. We became some people, and we're all proud of each other, you know, and I'm sure that our family members are proud of us too. So,
it doesn't just have to be... Go ahead, Vernell.
You have to stop me because I could keep talking. Yeah, go ahead and say.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
She needs encouraging all the time.
Yeah, so let me bring Ms. Croft in just for a second. Ms. Croft, so I hear what everybody said. I love what everybody's saying tonight. And so my question becomes, you know, how important it is for Karen to not try to do it by herself? You know, because, I mean, when you think about that, it's like, okay, I don't need any help. Sometimes intrinsically we're saying this, I don't need any help. I can do this by myself, because sometimes we're angry and we just don't feel that we're going to have that support. So why is it important that Karen has, you know, not try to do it by herself? And then, Stephanie, the same question is going to go to you. Go ahead, Ms. Cross.
Well, it's very important because what she's been doing so far hasn't been working. So right now, you know, just based on her personality and the way that she, her perspective on how she views things, she needs someone to come in there and maybe show her a different way of doing it. And I think sometimes, yes, we get in this little zone where we feel like we don't need help, but why not? Why not? You know, we haven't lived this life already. So I think when the caller was saying how we all can influence each other in different ways, I agree with him strongly. Because the whole thing is, I feel like we all have different talents and different skills that God has blessed us with, and it would be very selfish of us not to share that with each other. So we all need each other in different ways, you know. So she definitely shouldn't take this stand by herself.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so Stephanie, I want to bring you in with something along the same lines, but I want to add something to that and say, what if Karen is very sensitive? She's very sensitive, which many of us are, and it's almost like she needs the help, but she's too proud, not so arrogantly proud, but just kind of so proud that her feelings get hurt easily when someone's trying to help her. What do you tell Karen?
Well,
get on my
maybe
nerves.
Maybe you don't tell her. Maybe you just show her. Maybe you guide her. Like, you know, if I was to go back to school today after receiving my master's, what would I do? I hear college, the computer, the message board is all different. I hear like the young man said, APA style, I hear all of that is different. So for me, if I was Karen, if I was Karen's friend, I wouldn't just tell her. I would show her and say, look, this is what I learned, that how they do it now in college, instead of just saying, okay, go do it, and not guide her through it. Because I can understand people being sensitive at this time, because I hear college now they say it's a little bit easier when you're on the computer and you're talking to your professors on what they call a message board, but maybe she's not computer savvy. So I think I would do a lot more showing her, or put her in a situation where people are around her that can help her, you know, better. Because I do believe sensitivity does play a role, because people do tend to get a little shy. I mean, I was shy in college, but at the same time, hey, once I went through that door and they told me, hey, you in, I stayed in and I didn't turn around and I didn't give up. So, you know, Karen just probably needs someone to just guide her until she's comfortable enough, and then you can release her. But the previous caller was dead on. Everything she said was perfect. Everything she said was correct.
Okay. Wayne, let's bring you in just for a moment. I mean, you know, sometimes, I mean, it's hard to ask for help sometimes for some people. But the Bible says we have not because we ask not. How can Karen, Christy, and I'm going to bring you in as well, but Wayne, let's see here, how can Karen come past that where she says, you know what, I need some help. What approach, if any, should Karen use to try to seek some help, you know?
Well, Doc, they have plenty of help on college campuses. They have tutoring services, especially if you don't score high enough on the test. They got remedial classes you could take, and while taking those remedial classes, they also have Miami-Dade called it the lab, but they will help you with your studies. They'll teach you how to do APA style if you don't know how to do it. They just give you all type of they have something called survival, college ready survival for kids that's going back to school in their later age, that they could get help, because a lot of people, especially she can't do online. And as you know, I'm educated. I'm not really computer savvy. And it's kind of hard to do online classes. I think what she should do, I mean, if she got three kids, Doc, it won't be the first time that she asked for help. Especially if she got three kids and no job, she asked for help by AFDC. So anything that help about trying to get them go forward. I don't see anything wrong with that. Just put a threat aside.
Yeah. At this point.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's a good point, bro.
So let's go on with asking the question. Let's bring Christy in. Christy, I mean, how does she find patience? Let's say Karen, other people have already distracted her. Now all of a sudden they're coming around again that she started school. Let's say she started working on her degree. And now all of a sudden people are starting to come around and it's like, well, Karen, can you do this here for me? Can you do that? And they're coming by in bundles. And now how can Karen avoid this distraction when she's been so nice all along? What should Karen do? You got five people that just came there and say, well, Karen, can you do this for me? And Karen has already started the program.
Okay, Karen has to set her priorities, first of all, okay? And I understand that she might have been able to have more free time in the past and help people whatever she was doing for them. But if she wants to better herself, she got to ask herself, wait a minute now, I can't do what I used to be able to do for people, because I'm trying now to better myself, where they might already be where they want to be, okay? So in life, we all have to set our priorities because, you know, yes, the Lord does want us to help people, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm definitely not saying not to help people, because I'm one that definitely helping people all the time. But she has to set her priorities. The Bible also says take care of home first, okay?
Right.
So if she's trying to better her life for her children, she has to be able to tell people, well, you know what? I'm in school now. I cannot do what I used to be able to do for you, you know, so if you could get someone else or whatever they want to do. But she has to let them know up front, hey, I had to go back to school, and I can't do the things that I used to be able to do for you. You know, everybody, we all in life have to set priorities. And, you know, I was going to say when they were making comments that the first thing she needed to realize that she, if she wanted the help, she had to make up in her mind that she wanted to get the help. No one can make you do anything until you yourself decide that you actually want to do it.
Okay. So, I mean, Christy, Karen being one of the story indicated that Karen is one of the nicest people that you'll ever meet. Karen is not likely to want to hurt somebody's feeling by turning them down. These five people are, you know, have made it seem as if they're counting on Karen. They can't do this without Karen. I mean, and we know that that's a lie. We know that's a lie,
well,
and I like
you.
What you're saying.
Thank you.
So, you know, how strong does Karen need to be about this?
Well, she needs to be a strong person if she's going to succeed in life, okay? Make her point to them that I can't do it, and mean what she says and say what she means and stick to it. And that's not offending. If they get offended, then, you know, that's bad, because they should understand. If they're a human being and want to help her, they will understand. But if they're all about themselves, whatever Karen could do for them, then that's all what it's always been about from the beginning. But who won't understand if somebody's, especially in her condition, who has all these children, three kids or whatever you said, how many she had.
Right, three kids.
And she doesn't want to, you know, help her children. She's helping herself, and she's not. It's just not about her. She has kids now. I don't know whether you read that she was married or not. I don't know. I didn't know.
No, she's not married. Single mother, three teenage children.
So, so are those people willing to help her with her children? See, she got to come to reality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are they willing to help her with her children?
No, nobody's turning back and looking at Karen and helping her out. No.
Okay. Well, there's a lot of selfish people in the world that it's all about them, what they want you to do for them. But then, hey, she has to set her priorities. That's the only way any of us will succeed in life. You got to set priorities.
I agree. You know, tonight's topic is, do you have a theme for 2019? And before we go, we're going to ask some of our callers their theme for 2019. Let's take some of the comments that have come in. We're 8 minutes before we close the show out. You know, we appreciate you all patience. If you want to speak to one of these issues, press 1, of course, on your dial. We'll take the first comment. Ms. Cross, we'll give you that one. This female writes in. She says, I have made New Year's resolutions just like Karen did in the past for the past several years, and by a quarter into the new year, I stop thinking or acting on my ideals. I find that I do better by just setting one goal for the year, something that is doable. Ms. Cross, what do you think about that? I mean, she says, you know what, she stopped it just like, you know, because she found herself a quarter into it. She was, you know, distracted. So what do you say about that? Just set one goal for the year and go with that.
I think, you know, you got to go with what works for you. So you do need to set goals that are attainable. So if she's setting 20 goals and she's not being able to accomplish them, maybe it's too much.
Okay. All right. Vernell, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, Vernell, let's just ask you. I mean, one goal at a time. One goal at a time. Is that important? If it's other
Very
stuff
important.
Isn't working?
I've decided not to even set New Year's resolutions because we've been doing that all our lives, and how many people keep it. However, I decided that I'm going to take one day at a time and be the best me that I can be at what I want to do. And as Ms. Christy said, I agree with her. So you find that when a lot of time when people figure out or they find out that you're trying to go to school or you're trying to better yourself, they will get in the way because they don't want to see you succeed. So you have to set that goal and say, listen, I'm going to do this. I don't have time to do what you ask me to do or you need me to do, but I have time to do what I have to do for me and my children.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Christy, on that note, I want to bring you back in just for a second and ask you, then we're going to give you the next comment. We got only 5 minutes, you all, so we're going to ask you to be brief. Christy, what about if it's the people in the church that really count on Karen because they're in the church and they want her to be this good Christian sister? Stephanie, the same question is going to go to you as well. What do you say to that, Christy? What should Karen tell them?
Okay, why is she not still this good Christian? Because she's telling them no?
Right.
They're going to judge her
right.
and say, oh, right. she's not this right. good Christian anymore? They should
uh-huh.
be a Christian by being definitely understanding if they are a Christian.
Okay.
If they truly are a Christian, who wouldn't understand when you want to better your life for your family?
Oh, I agree, Miss Christy. I so agree with that.
She might need to pull away from those so-called Christians, okay?
Amen.
That's the truth, honey. Everybody that says they're Christian don't mean they are. And when,
Thank you.
Yeah, you are being real.
So Stephanie, the question is, I mean, but they're in the church. They're in the church, Stephanie. Don't take that for
Listen, Dr. Walker, I've been
Are the people in the church righteous? Aren't the people in the church righteous, Stephanie?
Listen, I've been on your show many times, and you know how I feel about the people in the church. I have totally cut them off, and I live by God's will and what God has for my life, not the church's life, not their life. No. So, Chris, Karen better get it together. And you tell Karen I said that I am rooting for her. Whatever goes she sets this year, I will pray for her. And remember,
God, I hope she is really a character.
Her, so she needs to be the role model for her children. God bless.
Yes.
And I hope the best for Karen.
Wayne, let's bring you in here. Okay, Wayne, there's another comment. We got 3 minutes, you all. Wayne, this comment, this female says, I don't set resolutions just like some of your callers said because I don't think they work. Ask your callers how many of them have kept up with theirs. Wayne, this caller wants to know, have you kept up with your resolutions?
No, Doc. I'm just like the caller said, I don't make them anymore. Because I'm tired of letting my own self down. So I try to keep it like working on the belt of me, you know. I keep it to myself,
like,
and when I make resolution, I never fall one yet.
You know, I can't remember, and Wayne, I appreciate that, because I can't remember the last time I made a New Year's resolution, because I stopped a long time ago too, you know, because I just don't keep up with them. Ms. Cross, let's bring you back in. Ms. Cross, do you make New Year's resolutions?
No, I just set goals. But I revisit my goals every month.
All right. Let's take this one here, Ms. Cross. We're going to give this one to you. This caller writes in. He says, I think it could work if you prioritize your goals, just as Christy said, and work towards them daily. Ms. Cross, how important is that to work towards your goal on a daily basis?
I do. That's what I actually do. I set my goals for the month, and I look at what it's going to take for me to do every day to get to this goal. So I don't really do the resolutions either, but it is very important because you want to keep it consistently on your brain, you know, actually accomplish them.
All right. Christy, we're going to give you this comment that's coming in. We'll try to take at least two more here. Christy, this one is, this male, he says, the best way to set your theme is to be around people who are like-minded, like some of you all have said. Don't expect it all to come from your significant other because they can't do it all for you. Christy, how important is that, that this caller says, your significant other can't be all of it to you. You know, so you got to be around like-minded people. How important is that?
Well, that is true because, I mean, in every given situation, it's hardly ever that you find two people that are 100% alike. There might be some things that you like about that person, but everything, you know, that person likes or that person like about you, that's rare. So you set your own goals and you focus. The key is focusing on any and everything that you want to do. Stay focused.
I agree with that. And, Bernadette, we're going to give you the last one, and then we'll just ask. We're clearly out of time just about. And, Bernadette, we'll give you this one. This message says, I decided to start this year right by setting one goal at a time and working on that daily until it happens. And I think that this will work also for Karen, she says. I can't speak for others, but I'm going to make it. She says, I'm going to make it happen. That's the way I think things work, by working it until it gets done. And I think that's what Karen needs to do, is to make it happen. What do you think about that, Vernell?
Yes, I think she needs to go ahead and just do that. Because otherwise she's going to get on everybody's nerves like she has been on this phone. However, every last one of us have to go on and just do what we have to do. You don't make no resolution because, you know, most of the time you don't keep these resolutions. You just be the best person you can be and just act as though every day is is your last day and just live it. Do whatever it is your heart sets to do and just live it and enjoy life.
All right, 10 seconds or less. We're out of time. Ms. Cross, you'll have the last one, but let me start by asking Christy first. Do you have a theme for 2019? If you do, just tell us in one sentence what it is so we can keep it moving.
My theme for 2019 is the Lord has spared me to see 2019. To God be the glory. Great thing he has done in my life, okay?
Yeah.
And
right.
I'm just going to share this briefly with you all. I was driving today, and I hit something in the road. It looked like, even my sister was saying, it looked like it was some wood or something in the road. Something must have fell off somebody's truck or whatever, but I hit it. And then when I stopped somewhere, I saw that my tire was going low. I'm like, oh, great, let me go hurry up and go somewhere. One man told me $37 just to, if they could fix the tire. Otherwise, you're going to have to buy a tire. I went to a place where I had bought some tires from. They did it free. I was almost in tears. I say, Lord, thank
Amen.
You.
Amen.
Thank you for that.
Thank you for that theme as well. All right, Wayne, let's go to you. Right.
Yes.
Wayne, let's go to you. For 2019, what is your theme for 2019?
To be a better me.
All right. I like that. Stephanie, let's go to you. What is your theme for 2019?
To go wherever the Lord sends me.
Okay. And my theme is to focus and let God lead. All right, let's go to you, Vernell. What are your themes for 2019?
It's to get closer to God because of the time we're living in.
All right, I like that. Ms. Cross, you've got the final word. What is your theme for 2019?
Mine is to put God first in everything that I do. And when I'm focused, I'm on fire. So I'm ready to blaze it up this year.
All right. All right, on that note, we are clear. Thank you all so very much. We had a great show tonight. Do you have a theme for 2019? And let me tell you, all of you all, Happy New Year. Thank you all for your time and patience. Join us tomorrow night live for your half-hour inspirational program. Of course, if you missed tomorrow night's program, join us back here next Thursday for a surprise show. And we've got a featured guest coming all the way out of Missouri that is an author of a book, Your Success is in You. Miss Bernie.
That's right.
Bernie will be with us next Thursday live on the Dr. Just Walk Show, coming all the way out of Missouri. You don't want to miss that show. The topic will be Your Success is in You. Until tomorrow night, or until we'll probably air from tomorrow night in we're in Huntsville, Alabama now. We'll air from tomorrow night in Atlanta, Georgia. We'll be there. So until tomorrow or until next Thursday, I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless. And thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Thank you. Very good show. Same to you.